gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook as well. Speaking of Sexy Liberals, why?
Hello. Steffi. Oh,
what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be?
Yes.
Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes! Yes!
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
God, was San Francisco good for you, too?
It was actually spectacular.
Yes, it was. Thank you, San Francisco.
Yeah, amazing, amazing audience, amazing show.
Some woman wrote me that she's never wanted to pinch a T-Rex butt more than...
Oh, sure.
Yes.
You must see Hal Sparks' T-Rex bit live in person.
It's very funny.
May I just say, I think the finest physical comedian in the country, Hal Sparks.
Aww.
My good friend.
Well, you do dominate the stage with all your walking all over it and
well,
stuff.
Well, it's seldom that I have as big a stage as you have, like, at the Orpheum and
beautiful, you know, theater.
Amazing. Yeah. And so you kind of want to take advantage of it, running all over that, being a koala bear.
Well,
and
that's the reason to go see the sexy, because Hal Sparks, amazing, brilliant on the radio, but you have to see him live in person in all his physical glory. I'm just saying. All right. I, as you know, basically just stumble around drunkenly and grope people. That's pretty much my act. I'm Rick Perry. I'm
He's stealing your act.
Just Rick, like you think you're doing really great.
Michelle Bachman stole my 666-999 joke.
Yeah.
And Rick Perry stole your entire shtick on Friday.
Yeah, exactly.
It is my privilege today to introduce to you Governor Rick Perry.
That dude's hammered.
I can't stand here in front of this crowd and not... just, you know, love on you a little bit.
They're acting like they're drunk.
You know, we're kind of into those slogans, man. It's like, live free or die, victory or death. Bring it.
Are you playing the town drunk?
Get that.
Actually, I'm supposed to be the governor.
Governor Rick Perry.
Drunk ass mother.
Everybody's got a little slogan, right?
Bring it.
Thank you, Shano. Little tribute.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was kind of beautiful. Like I saw the clips that everybody was playing, but then I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's
awkward.
Better. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's certain like it's like old fashioned comedy timing. You know, modern comedy is a little. They want things too fast. You know, they don't let those moments breathe.
Yeah.
He was being like a close talker, like the guy in the airport bar, just like
spitting on your neck and.
Britt Hume disagrees with you. He says that if you watch the whole thing, it's a pretty normal speech.
Rick Perry said he thought it was great.
Yeah.
Huh?
What happens when you're drunk. You think you're doing great.
Well, I think here's the possibility. I think he's been really stiff in these debates, in all honesty. I think he's been really stiff in these debates.
Right.
And somebody said, why don't you, you know, just have a... you know, a drink to take the edge off before you go out and get it, so you can
like
be a little more down home.
He was like the comedy bot 2000, just like disconnecting. He had George Bush's telegraph and comedy eyebrows.
Plus, he's on painkillers, I think.
Yes, because he had a back surgery.
Right, and what you have there is a magic recipe for the real Rick Perry to pop out. Like, it's like this amount of painkillers and this amount of alcohol is the perfect combination to basically crack the safe that lets the real Rick Perry out so people
like
can see him.
He's like the opposite of Hal Sparks. Hal Sparks actually is that charming and funny. Rick Perry's that guy that just thinks he is.
Right.
It's just this drunk.
Close talker.
Hal Sparks, of course, never had a drink in his life.
No.
So he's actually aware of, you know, whether he's actually being funny or...
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
If I'm spitting on your neck and going for side boob, I know it.
Yeah.
And he's one of those guys who looks like he goes for, you know, he's going for side boob, you know, with the hand around the side like that, just trying to tickle the edges.
Anyway, a fabulous show up in San Francisco. Chris Perry was there of Perry versus Schwarzenegger. I'm wearing her T-shirt.
Oh, nice.
Of Perry versus Schwarzenegger. Joan Walsh did a panel with us. And Marcos Melitzos was there. It was a sexy
Marcos.
Liberal party.
I didn't get to see Marcos.
He was hilarious. He was dressed for Halloween with the T-shirt just said middle class, and there was a knife right in the middle of it with blood coming out.
Wow.
Out of his chest.
That's awesome.
And his wife dressed as Jane Lynch from Glee. Hilarious. It was just... Anyway, the only thing missing, it was my only sadness. You know this. I'm a aficionado of the mini bands, and there is a mini Gaga, if you can see that there on Ustream. And next time I'll book her. She was in Mini Kiss. And now she is Mini Gaga.
She's branching out.
Yeah. Yeah. We must book her.
Well, you know, there has been talk for a while of a Kiss Lady Gaga couture.
That would be a show.
Yeah.
Is that the opening act for Sexy Liberal or what?
I know.
That's it.
Mini Gaga and Mini Kiss.
Together on the same stage again
for the first time.
Oh, yeah. Did you see Rush is doing a show, Rush Live, at the Town Hall in New York? We spawned. It's the Sweaty Right Wing tour.
Right.
And O'Reilly's going on tour with Glenn Beck.
The Fat Sweaty Right Wing guy tour.
They've been trying to do that for a while, the Fair and Balanced tour, but I don't think that's happening.
Okay.
And, yeah, no. That was kind of a Fox-related puff thing that they were trying for a while, and it lasted about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which I think was only one date. I think it was one lead up, one date, and and I think O'Reilly called it off.
I think some egos got in the way.
Oh dear. Oh, you think?
What?
Yeah.
You don't know that. That is a
well,
reach,
right away.
Chris
whoever
LaVoy.
Said comedy tour starring Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah, right.
Maybe that person. I don't.
Well, it's if you think my physical comedy is good, you should see him with a loofah and a shower head.
Hey!
Those handheld shower heads. It's hilarious. It's
all
somewhere
right.
between what you'd see in Thailand and a video that's yanked off of YouTube immediately.
So Shano, who just sent us a Rick Perry montage, also is the official legal type person of the Stephanie. Legal person slash montage maker.
That's right.
Of the Stephanie Miller
nice.
Show.
Like that.
And he wrote, Steph, I was right yesterday morning, yay, and it was first on the Stephanie Miller Show. He, quoting from an NPR piece, Kane may have waived the confidentiality requirements by talking publicly about the settlement, including disclosing details of the agreement,
yep.
Bennett told NPR. That's the woman's lawyer. That could potentially free up his client as well as the second woman who settled a similar law complaint to speak publicly. Oh, yay. I say yay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was this... I don't know which was funnier. The parade of, what do you call it? Herman Cain explanations throughout the day or the Rick Perry. It was a competing.
Right.
It was competing comedy.
Gibberish answers to your favorite questions. You've been asking them all along, but now we've got a whole new set of answers that make no sense either.
Yeah, well, this is what, a lawyer for one of the two women has claimed that Herman Cain is not telling the truth
right.
about the allegations. Lawyer said his client was very upset, was considering talking publicly if she's released from the confidentiality. We were saying yesterday, he said, I would like to face my accusers. I would... Okay.
Okay.
Your accuser would like to face you, too.
Yeah, that's one phone call.
Uh-huh.
And you can... But I'm just wondering legally whether that's true, whether she has to legally be released from it or whether he already has by talking about it.
It depends on what is in that particular confidentiality agreement.
He says, because I didn't name her, but I don't think that's true. I think a confidentiality agreement is both sides. You can't talk about it. So if one side does, I think that's...
It depends on what was in that particular confidentiality agreement.
Yeah.
It's not a blanket thing.
No. Nope.
So.
If it says that as long as they don't mention it by name, they could be very narrow. If they're not supposed to discuss it at all, then all bets are off.
Yeah. Herman Cain... Cain risks a deeper crisis over harassment claims is the headline. Crisis facing Herman Cain threatened to escalate. As it's always the cover-up, right? Hell, it's not the thing. It's the cover-up. It's the lying. It's the...
Mm-hmm.
Cain spent the day attempting to clear up confusion, thereby making it even more confusing.
Yeah.
And, yes. So, let's see. The lawyer for the woman said, it's just frustrating Herman Cain is going around bad-mouthing the two complainants and my client is blocked by a confidentiality agreement,
right.
which... They knew.
Mm-hmm. That was the whole point. That's why it's double-sided. It's why you both don't talk about it.
Yeah. Cain asked in a Fox News interview if he would waive the confidentiality agreement so the woman could respond, said he couldn't answer yet because of legal implications and the need for consultations with his lawyers. He said, I can't answer that right now. It's too soon.
Why can't these ladies come out and go, I was sexually harassed by the least white guy up there? I'm not going to say who.
Yeah.
All right, Herman Cain yesterday.
All we know is that they contacted my office and said that they had two anonymous sources accusing me of sexual harassment. And we said, well, what details can you give us? They couldn't give us any other than it occurred
what?
When I was at the National Restaurant Association.
What do you mean they couldn't give you any details?
You know the details.
What do you mean two anonymous sources? They're not anonymous to you.
Yeah, you outlined quite a few of those details to Greta Van Susteren the other night.
Yeah. I love that they, this is what they try to say, like, oh, it's a smear campaign, anonymous sources. These are not anonymous. They're not all anonymous sources are the same. They clearly are anonymous because of the confidentiality agreement.
Right. Yes. And can we stop saying that this is a high-tech lynching? This is nothing like a real lynching.
And like Randy Rhodes said, yes, it is clearly came from Mitt Romney's camp.
Yeah.
From Karl Rove, who's working with Mitt Romney's camp.
Right. Oh,
give me a break.
And they've got ammo for everybody up there except Mitt. And they're just going to cast it out as necessary. Anybody who gets up near the top, they're going to leak that stuff about Michelle Bachmann's migraines and all that kind of stuff as soon as she gets within shooting distance.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing with Herman Cain. I mean, Rick Perry, they might as well have spiked his drink on Friday. I wouldn't put it past him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
You know what?
Somebody admits he slipped a roofie in the spring.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, he almost had sex with that bottle of maple syrup.
Exactly.
So it might have been a roofie.
Mitt's just sitting back laughing his ass off watching the Rick Perry video and the Herman Cain video all day. He might have mussed his hair. He laughed so hard. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Herman
Cain. It started out where she was making some huge claims about sexual harassment.
Mm-hmm.
I do recall that she was asking for a large sum of money. Mm-hmm. I don't remember what that sum of money was.
$35,000.
$35,000
is what
it was her yearly salary. It wasn't just 3 months.
I don't think
that
you
was
give someone
salary.
Their entire year's salary if nothing happened. Do you? Right. I'm just saying. By the way, where do I come up to on you, Hal, compared to...
Yeah. Is it here?
Come on. That's just weird. That's what he said. I just told her that she came up to here on me where my wife got something.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, please. That's a weird pickup line.
No, that part I missed.
Yeah.
He told her he said he was standing very close to her.
Yeah.
First of all, with that creepy smile, and right away that gives me the heebie-jeebies. And he
coughing pepperoni slices on her neck. And
he said, you come up to about here on me where my wife does. I think it was a BJ joke.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Did he make the gesture here, or did he touch his belt buckle?
He said the gesture was up to his chin, but I'm sure something way beyond that happened.
I was going to say, we're only hearing what he said,
and
he's already been caught lying several times. So
he's allowed to speak.
Yeah.
The accuser isn't.
Right.
And by the way, that was just one thing. He tried to pick a thing that sounded like she was exaggerating something. I'd love to see the whole complaint.
Yes. I'd like to see that unsealed.
I would too.
Well, the ironic part is that he doesn't need any help being taken down at this point. Like his economic policy, his every single policy thing he's put forward is so ludicrous. He shouldn't
it's
even
gibberish.
Be on the stand on the Diaz in the first place.
Yeah.
Just like Santorum. There's no why is that guy there? You know, like I would mind hearing all the wonderful, you know, closeted elements about him that I'm sure were waiting because he's so anti-gay that he just has to be trolling.
Ooh, I want to put forward an alternate conspiracy theory. Maybe it was Ron Paul behind them because who's the person that's against the Civil Rights Act?
There
he's
you go.
Do something to the black guy. I'm
right.
Just
maybe it was retaliation for short-sheeting his suit.
Yeah,
maybe.
And
Herman Cain's the one that short-sheeted his suit in the last debate.
Go.
All right.
Staple the pants legs shut. Doink, 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 doink. Ow. Doink. Get dressed, Ron.
Quit it.
We need you on stage.
Quit it.
Put your pants on, Ron.
19 minutes after the hour. We continue with the Hump Days with Hal. Catherine Cryer coming up.
I love her.
Just a few minutes. Love her. On the Stephanie Miller Show.
Love her. Total chaos. No rehearsal, no program. And don't even get me started on the monkey.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Child is black, the child is white, the whole world looks upon a sight, a beautiful sight.
Get it. Get it. This is Stephanie Miller Show. Get it. 25 minutes after the hour, in the midst of Hump Days with Hal. Right-wing trolls are funny.
Yeah.
We have a right-wing troll on my Facebook?
Yes, on the Stephanie Miller Facebook page.
What's he say? I'm going to guess a misspelling?
He says, Y-O-U-R, all a bunch of radical left-wing nuts, not to mention complete morons.
Cool. Did he spell moron correctly?
He spelled morons correctly. He didn't spell it morans.
Good.
Yeah.
All right, and then there was an offer to... nuts? What is he, Vince from Slapshot?
I think you were supposed to bleep the other word.
Oh. Well, Vince from Slapchop.
He did spell
no
it with
knows.
A Z, so it's, okay. It's not as offensive. No. It's just wacky.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's right-wing comedy.
Yeah. Yeah. Is that it?
Or it could just be sign of a product. You
am
know,
I
like
saying
snack
the
right, food.
What, you know, Vince, the guy that says
yeah,
you're going to love my nuts.
Chop.
You're going to love my nuts.
Yeah.
That guy.
Yeah, because he's chopping
yeah.
walnuts.
Uh-huh.
So
the guy who was busted for beating up a hooker.
That was it.
Yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
There were apparently bloodstains all over the carpet, which just goes to show you that the ShamWow doesn't work that well.
By the way, speaking of right-wing comedy, somebody sent me the... remember our heckler in San Francisco Friday night?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody said, like, wow, you got to hand it to that guy to heckle you three. Right. Kind of chewed him up and spit him out. It was on Daily Coast. Let's see. My friend Dean and I saw the show Friday night. It was wonderful, except we were a few seats away from the heckler that thought Obama was a war criminal and supports Ron Paul. I thought the show handled the heckler well, and when they offered him some pot cookies to help him chill out, I almost wet my pants. Tears streaming down my face. Please note the heckler came in clown makeup. At least he dressed the part.
Oh, dear.
That was, yeah, that guy. Okay.
Huh.
Yeah, you don't heckle Hal Sparks, either on the phone or in person, because he doesn't open a can of whoop-ass. He makes a fresh batch,
yeah.
as he says.
Yeah, I don't use the old stuff on the shelf. No. I've got all the ingredients at home.
Yep. Oh, wow, look, here's some more right-wing comedy. Did you see this? The Virginia County Republican Party emails.
Yeah.
A picture of
Loudoun
Obama
County.
With a bullet hole in his head. See, they're doing a good job saying we're racist, that a liberal obviously took down Herman Cain, and that's why we're, yeah. And this
yeah.
is after
old
all
Carl
of these
Rove,
signs.
That old liberal.
Yeah. All yeah. of these signs at the mm-hmm. Tea Party rallies. Yeah, do you see this one? It's it was a wacky Halloween comedy. You see, because the president looks like a zombie. It's the Hope poster,
yep.
except he's a zombie with a bullet hole in his head. See how that's always funny?
Uh-huh.
It's the Loudoun County, Virginia Republican Party.
Yep.
They sent out a Halloween 2011 mailer depicting President Obama as a zombie with part of his skull missing and a bullet through his head.
Nice.
The email invites participants to a Halloween parade where we're going to vanquish the zombies with clear-thinking conservative principles and a truckload of Republican guilty. The Loudoun County Republican Party Chairman Mark Sell.
Oh, he's good.
Uh-huh. Called the email a lighthearted attempt to inject satire humor. Oh, satire and humor?
Oh,
satire
is that what
humor.
That is?
Is that what he called it?
Satire humor.
Some of that there satire humor to all the liberals think
satire
is so
humor
funny.
That they have on the Daily Show.
A lighthearted attempt to inject satire humor into the Halloween holiday.
Hmm.
We deeply and sincerely apologize to the president and anyone who viewed the image if that was the impression that was left. That's crazy. Why would anyone think that's in any way?
That's just
inappropriate.
Nutty.
The LCRC deplores any effort to display, suggest, or promote violence against the president or any other political figure.
They only have to say that because they're required by their lawyers to say that.
Yeah,
right.
How you would draw that conclusion from a picture of the president with a bullet hole in his head? I don't know why
you say that. As a zombie, because you know you kill a zombie by shooting it in the head, which is So
I love that we apologize if that was the impression that was left for some reason.
I just never put it together.
Huh. We thought that liberals would enjoy the satire humor.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And there you go. It's some right-wing comedy. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with Catherine Cryer next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Something must have happened to turn
Stephanie Miller
from cool to, as you would say, tool.
34 minutes after the hour, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks. We are video streaming on halsparks.com and stephaniemiller.com. You know, entertaining television this year, the Rick Perry drunken tape, the Herman Cain's continual explanations or not. However, my all-time favorite moment, Chris, you remember, when Catherine Cryer bitch-slapped Sean Hannity into the middle of the next election cycle.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what it was about, but I'll ask her. Good morning, Catherine Cryer.
Good morning. You had your memory. That's frightening. I can't remember what I had for breakfast this morning.
Yeah, I don't know what you were debating him about, but that did not go well for him. That's all I remember.
I don't know, but it actually served me very well. Since I don't remember what happened yesterday, somebody comes up and goes, you did, I don't know.
I don't remember. Sean Hannity would like to forget. Anyway, you are, of course, author, former judge, award-winning journalist, television broadcaster. Yeah, I've just always been a huge fan of yours. You know that.
Thank you so much.
But this new book, you must also be psychic, because it's called Patriot Acts, and it seems like you must have known the Occupy movement was coming.
Well, I tell you, I am not at all surprised, and not to sound prescient, but I've been actually calling for, and not blood in the streets, everybody be clear, but right. I've been calling for Americans, you know, for 20 years in speeches to get off their rears, get back on their feet, because, you know, we're a passive, as much as we love to think of ourselves as, you know, aggressive, dynamic, we're pretty passive when it comes to politics. You know, we don't vote often enough. We don't complain often enough when there are real problems. And I've been surprised given the trajectory, because I don't think it's a shock that we arrived where we are. It's a pretty straight line. And why haven't we been screaming about the fact that our political process has basically been taken away from us, and these are the consequences?
Well, you call Occupy Wall Street both a natural reaction and a necessary step towards recovery. I mean, I do think it's interesting that I was saying, you know, someone wrote a piece yesterday that it has already succeeded, that we have changed the conversation about the deficit to, I think, the more important issue of joblessness and economic disparity in this country. And I look at Bank of America's already backed down. I mean, so
isn't that wonderful? Yeah. I mean, my God, I remember years ago, and I used to use this in speeches, I'd say, you guys were so upset when the direct marketers were calling you on a Saturday night, and all of a sudden the people rose up, and almost overnight there was congressional legislation to limit this and to create this don't call list. Now, for God's sake, why aren't we doing this for the important issues?
Right.
You know, quit worrying about a call on a Saturday night, and let's start marching for jobs. What we've got right now is a unity of mission with so many groups, and yet politicians very effectively divide us. The Tea Party started by pointing its fingers at Wall Street and the marriage between Wall Street and big government. And pretty quickly, they were diverted. Mm-hmm. We all know, you know, you wave at God's gaze and guns, and I understand cultural issues are important, but all of a sudden it became, now we're, you know, a subset of the Republican Party, and we're all put in our nice little boxes. But their original mission was right on target and jives quite nicely.
Well, right, and they got Catherine, they got co-opted, really, you know, to protect the big insurance companies then. I mean,
well,
you know,
big corporations figured this is a powerful group. They're naturally aligned with us, and we're going to refocus their mission. And part of it, I mean, it's pretty in your face. Frank Luntz, the big wordsmith for the Republican Party, you know, basically said in the healthcare debate, don't talk about insurance companies. Don't talk about price increases. Talk about Washington bureaucrats taking over our lives. Now, that's part of the problem, but it's not the whole problem. And yet he was able to redirect all the angst and the anger to Washington bureaucrats. But in fact, it's the marriage of big government and big corporations. But what I try to do in the book is go all the way back to Adam Smith, the founder of capitalism. Mm-hmm. And he said, guys, capitalism is economic opportunity for everybody, but you gotta watch out for concentrated wealth and power, because it will destroy capitalism.
Wow.
Well, but he was writing to counter what was then called mercantilism in Britain, the marriage of big business and the government. He said, this is a whole new system, just like a representative democracy, just like what Jefferson wanted, a whole new system, economic opportunity for a broad population, but watch out, the big corporations will destroy it.
Well, I mean, I think that's right, that, you know, when people, the right wing tries to say, oh, they're anti-capitalist, they're not anti-capitalist.
No.
They, you know, we have the fact is we have greater economic disparity now than any time since the Great Depression, right?
And they're now saying it's gotten worse than that.
Right.
Yeah. The numbers are even wider than that. And what Americans need to understand is we're all rising up in defense of real capitalism. We talk about capitalism in this country. That's not what we've got. The power resides in what we call corporatism. In my book, I'm not saying all corporations are bad and, you know, wealthy is bad. It's the fact that the founder of capitalism said, you've got to watch out and you've got to balance. When you get too much power at the top, you destroy a representative democracy. You destroy capitalism as we've envisioned it. And so you've got to have checks and balances. And right now, the right basically is saying, complete free enterprise, deregulate, don't touch anybody.
Yeah.
And they're ignoring the fact that if we don't pay attention to the guys at the very top, that are now all global corporations.
Right.
You know, they're not American. They're global.
That's
then,
right.
Then we're destroying the American economy. Not.
And that's how. And that's how
not,
we.
You know, it's everybody.
Yeah, and that's how we got here, Catherine. Is, you know, lack of regulation. Obviously, I mean, I'm reading a story today about, you know, the big oil is going to make $100 billion. They've made it so far. They're on track to make $140 billion this year. And they get government subsidies. I mean, it's things like that, that you know, I think the people at the Occupy movements are talking about, don't you?
Well, and the Tea, again, the Tea Party, this is their conversation. If they can, you know, if they can refocus on what their original concerns and original complaints were, I mean, I know the very fact that there might be an alignment might scare some of them. But set aside, we can argue about the cultural stuff. Like we've still got room to debate all of that. But let's get to the big, hard core, and that is the economy, jobs, and we all actually have the same message and the same complaint, and that is the marriage of big government and big, big corporations, again, multinational now, not interested in whether the American consumer and the American workers are doing well or not, because they're making their money in India and China and elsewhere. We got to understand it's time to take the republic back before we can fix these problems.
Well, Catherine, you know, I mean, obviously, I'm on one side of the political divide, but, you know, you look at any of these Republican candidates' plans, you know, whether it's Herman Cain's 999 or Rick Perry's tax plan, they make the economic disparity worse. Every single plan is a huge tax break for the rich and you know, hurts the people at the bottom again.
Well, what I can't understand is the national amnesia is so bad. It used to be people didn't know their history 20, 50 years ago. Now they don't seem to know what happened 2 weeks ago. Because, in fact, what got us into this mess, you know, you don't have to go back to just George Bush. We can go back 30 years. But let's just say the Bush administration, you know, let's cut the taxes. Let's cut the regulations. Even the Wall Street Journal and Barron's, conservative publications, said George W. created fewer jobs than any president since Hoover, and some say even Hoover did better, and we know the corporations continued to move overseas. So it wasn't taxes, it wasn't regulations, and we need to understand that prescription, more, you know, just cut taxes and deregulate and the jobs will flourish, is not the answer. And so I'm
right, but what do you do? What do you do, Catherine, when you have a whole party that keeps saying, la, 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 I can't hear you, Catherine. You know, they keep saying the same thing, like, that, no, 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 this will work this time. And that's exactly the question we keep asking. Well, these are the policies that got us here.
Yeah, I just sort of beat my head against the wall going, facts matter. You know, you can
right.
have your opinion, but you can't have your own facts. And there is plenty of empirical evidence. Bruce Bartlett had a piece yesterday that I know it showed up on Huffington Post, but I think it was elsewhere, where and he was economic advisor in the Reagan White House. And he said, look, all of this talk about deregulation creating jobs is bunk. And he set all of this out. We know supply-side economics has been proven, I mean, again, empirical, not my opinion,
right.
as bunk. And so it's time for people to say, you know, we've got to have a realistic assessment based on the facts. And there are then legitimate, sort of more conservative or liberal positions in which to operate. But in fact, this economy is not going to be restored until we corral the interests of major corporations that are funneling campaign dollars and pushing our politicians to do things that are in the interest of overseas activities and not the American consumer
right.
and not the American domestic job base. And there are a lot of solutions, and I try and set them out in the book.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was looking today at an analysis, for instance, of Rick Perry's tax plan. I mean, it would cost more than $500 billion a year while increasing taxes on most of the middle class. I mean, and these are the people that talk about being fiscal conservatives in the deficit. It would blow a gigantic hole in the deficit. I just don't know how you have a conversation with people that can't understand basic math.
And what I truly don't understand is for American business, the corporate interests, and this is why I keep saying that so many of them now are looking for their consumers abroad. And they really say, we're making our money over there, so we don't care about the American consumer, because ultimately we can't have a domestic economy. The businesses cannot do well in this country if people don't have money to buy their goods, if we don't have a healthy middle class, if we don't provide provide jobs. So you got to understand there's now a disconnect where our big corporations that are telling Washington what to do don't care if we have jobs at home.
Yeah.
And so that's why we have got to divorce ourselves. And these politicians who are giving us the old line, you know, deregulate these companies, cut taxes, free them up, and they will come here and build. They won't.
Yep.
They won't.
Yep.
And so we've got to reject that dialogue and understand that the global environment has changed that equation, and it just isn't true anymore.
Isn't there 20 years of emerging markets growth before they would ever feel the need to reinvest in the American market anyways?
Well, I think that's absolutely a fair prediction when you look at the numbers.
India and China, they never have to make another dime in the United States.
Well, and you know, they're going to get their comeuppance, but because the Chinese are getting all their research, their development, they're building over there, and then some financial institutions have already experienced this where China goes, you know what, now we don't really need you guys, we're cutting you out of the deals. And they're going, oops, we've poured all this in here, and guess what, it's going to be taken away from us. They're going to get their comeuppance. But in the meantime, our domestic economy is going to continue to tank. So we've got to snap and understand that rebuilding real capitalism, and that is support for American entrepreneurs, American business, that's not isolationism at all, but really supporting those institutions and true capitalism, not global corporatism, is the only way to revitalize the American economy.
Catherine, if only you were eloquent in making your case, it would be so much easier to sell your book, Patriot Acts. You remain awesome.
I'm so passionate about this since I was a little kid. I don't know why, whether it's genetics, where this came from, but you know, I am truly a patriot. I so love my country, but we do some crazy things. It's time to really understand what the Republic's all about before we lose it.
Well, there's something, I don't know about your genetics, but that is really irritating in that you are gorgeous and brilliant and yet somehow I like you. All right. Catherine Cryer, the book is Patriot X. Thanks so much, Catherine. Talk to you again soon.
Take care.
All right. There she goes.
Oh, wow.
I think her genetics are superhuman.
They are.
Like Hal Sparks, who has spider blood. Okay.
Right.
47.
Radioactive spider blood.
Yeah. He doesn't sleep. He just,
Sleep is the enemy.
Exactly. 47 minutes after the hour.
I will never bow.
Right back. More Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Hal Sparks, and also it's my Apple Tech Day when Hal's here. Can you make my iPhone work in my car? I don't know how to do it with the Bluetooth, and also I'm having some other issues.
You know, the problem is it might be too easy. That may be the problem.
That's probably it.
Yeah.
All right. I also saved the Steve Jobs, because I know you loved him, a story for you today. I just thought this was... his sister gave a eulogy and said that his final words were, oh, wow, oh, wow, oh, wow. And I'm thinking, what did he see?
Yeah. You know, that was one of the famous stories about Sam Kinison when he passed.
Yeah.
He was dying on the roadway after he sobered up, went to Vegas, got married, was cleaning his life up essentially, driving back from Vegas, struck by a drunk driver, dying in the street in his brother's arms, said, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. He was talking to no one, just got in space. And then at one point, he was talking to this person, basically going, I don't want to go, I don't want to go. And then he went, oh, I see, okay. And then he just went.
Wow.
Such a huge show. Like, I remember every stand-up at that time was talking about that at the time. And it's, you know.
I loved him. He was very, very kind to me, I have to say. Mm-hmm. He was, you know what I mean? He wasn't just that stage persona. He was, anyway, but I thought this was interesting, too. She talked about how, talked about his capacity for love, particularly for his wife. And she said Steve was like a girl in the amount of time he spent talking about love.
Aww.
Love was his supreme virtue, his God of gods.
Mm-hmm.
And she said he was an intensely emotional man. I just made me love him more. Mm-hmm. As much as I love my new iPhone and my new iPad.
Don't get me started. I already wept on my own show about it.
I know you did. I'm trying to. I'm being the Barbara Walters of my own show.
I know.
Come on, Hal. Cry again. Do it on my show.
Right. No. Hard enough. Keep putting his face on the Apple page and I'm like, quit it.
Yeah. Stop it.
Feel bad.
All right.
No, in all seriousness, I mean, my career would not have had any, you know, where near the ability to go to get ahead the way I have been able to if it hadn't been for the invention of that technology and putting in people's hands, because I edited my first pilot on a Mac 840AV. I recorded my first songs on an Apple IICI. Mm-hmm. Like, I've been using that stuff forever.
Yeah.
My first jokes were written down on a Mac 128K. I typed them up.
Mine are still on a pad. But that's
yeah, not an iPad. An actual pad.
Pad.
Yeah.
Oh, they were also on a PC that was stolen.
Yes, and who had possession of that when it was stolen?
That would be me.
Yes, that would be you. Okay.
And
that's why you're the reason Carmelite was invented.
What, the State Department?
What?
What, do you work for the State Department, the Pentagon?
All right,
a laptop with every CIA operative's name and their home address and stuff was stolen from a car seat in a Starbucks parking lot in Virginia on Friday.
This was stolen from a cabinet at the radio station.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that I believe.
All right.
This place is a cesspool.
You know, maybe Rand Paul should have just hushed his pie hole on this since he's had his own allegations.
Yeah.
He said women can't take a joke in the workplace.
Yes!
Yeah.
He said chicks can't take a joke.
Chicks. Did he say chicks?
No, he didn't. I just made
Dames.
That up.
Dames.
That was his take on the Herman Cain scandal.
Yeah.
So there are people who have to tell a joke to a woman in the workplace, any kind of joke, because it could be interpreted incorrectly. Yeah,
not
it
any
sounds
kind
to
of
me
joke.
Like a lot more than that. And I'm the lawyer. Interesting interview with the lawyer for one of these women. I mean, he
told her a knock-knock joke. She got all offended. You had your hand in her pants at the time. Yeah, but like, what's wrong with a knock-knock joke? Nothing. You were fondling her.
Yeah, his own campaign had some. Chris, what was the story now that I recall? I know. Didn't he allegedly kidnap someone, force her to worship the Aquabuddha?
Oh, Aquabuddha.
Yes.
Yes, in college.
Like that.
Yeah.
Took her down to the riverside, Prince style.
You can just tell he's a jerk.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Ch-ch-ch-chia. Ch-ch-ch-chia.
Anyway, he said, I don't think you should print stuff like that. If you libel someone's character and not put your name on it, I think it's inappropriate. It shouldn't be printed.
She couldn't.
There is a name.
She couldn't tell her name.
I know. There is a name. The political reporters know the names. They can't print it because of the, you know, that's the difference. Mm-hmm. They try to make it sound like it's some crazy anonymous. I don't know. We don't even know if it's a real person.
Yeah, Rand Paul's kind of an idiot if he doesn't realize that.
Well, and your point is...
He's kind of an idiot.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Herman Cain yesterday on the claim.
That sum
he
of
knows
money,
nothing about.
Negotiate my attorney, negotiating with her attorney, got less and less and less because her attorney started to figure out she didn't have a valid claim.
Ah, really? That's not what her lawyer says.
Yeah.
I don't know. You give someone a year's salary for not having a valid claim. That's weird. He didn't know anything about it just a day ago, and now he's... Seems to know all the details.
Yes, his memory seems to have been freshened.
Well, I'm sure it's been jogged by his legal team.
Yes.
I have no doubt that he's, like, he probably, I would say, probably isn't aware of a lot of the details of it.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't seem like everything he thinks, he probably went, get rid of it on a piece of paper
and
sent it to his attorney.
I've harassed thousands of women. How am I supposed to remember which one in particular?
She can't have been harassed. It was me making sexual advances.
I wasn't even aware of the second case until we saw the Politico article.
Mm. I'm going to say...
You're a lying sack of crap. You're a lying sack of crap.
Just a
You're
hunch.
A lying, scheming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid crap.
I'm just guessing. I'm just guessing he'll suddenly remember details of the second woman as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Oh, upon further reflection. All right, 58 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
I want you no sunshine. Well, and I feel
Stephanie Miller Show. 1-800-STEP-1-2. It is Hump Days with Hal Sparks, sexy liberal himself, fresh off his triumphant performance at the Sexy Liberal Show in San Francisco. And we are off to Austin, Texas, and then Buffalo, New York this month. So check it out, sexyliberal.com. Yes. Get your tickets quick. Hurry.
Very exciting.
Okay. I believe they're gonna, we have some new pictures up, or they will be going up on Sexy Liberal Facebook.
Did you say new pictures?
What? Pardon me? No.
Did you say pictures?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, that I
need to be told what happened. I'm like I'm the Rick Perry of the Sexy Liberal Tour. I'm drunk. I don't really know what I said. I just assume I killed.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. All right. Jim, you had some thoughts on Herman Cain.
Well, one, he's a really bad liar.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's no Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton could sit, stare, look you right in the face.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you something. I am not here.
I'm
biting my lip and pointing my finger at you.
These are not
it's
the droids you're looking for.
Of your imagination. Yeah.
Move along.
Either
he's a really bad liar or he's got a rotten lawyer. Because
either way.
I know. Let's pay her a lot of money to not talk about that thing that never happened.
Yeah.
Apples and oranges. Apples and oranges. I tried to touch an apple, she kicked me in the oranges.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No, I mean, if these things are completely baseless, you don't pay someone off.
A year's salary.
Well,
salary.
In all fairness, in sort of fame circles and in business circles, these kind of allegations are shelved all the time with a little bit of hush cash and a gag order. The problem is if you break the gag order, then you set the whole thing loose again.
Exactly.
And basically, they could just take you again.
Right.
Essentially, even if you are, let's say
it was a misunderstanding.
Stupid. You're right. Yeah. Even it's just, you know, and that's the thing. That's
you know,
I think
the thing that occurs
problem.
To me is you, each and every one of you could sue me for sexual harassment.
Absolutely.
And
from just this morning.
And I could sue you if I didn't enjoy it, if I didn't ask for the teabagging demonstration.
Right, exactly. You insist
if
on
I didn't
it.
Like it.
Arguably, if I don't do it, I could lose my job.
Exactly.
And that's where
do it, Hal.
I'm feeling harassed.
Yeah. But I think it points to the fact that Herman
Cain.
Sweet
cheeks, don't be like that. All right.
Give me some coffee. You know, Mama likes
Herman Cain does not think anything through past Thursday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Just what you want in a president. All right.
Yeah.
Kids, we have one of our very personal favorites on the phone to talk about the real issues, the economy, jobs, et cetera. Representative Paul Tonko of the great state of New York. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. How are
you? I'm sorry you had to hear all that.
It's quite all right. This show is off to a roaring start.
Yes. Meanwhile, you're trying to actually get some actual things done for the American people. Where do we stand? You know, obviously there's so much talk now, and I think rightly so, on the Occupy movements, because at least they're refocusing the debate, right, on the important
things,
on jobs, on economic disparity, on the issues that you've been working on, right?
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of sad to note that we're some 300 days into the calendar year, and not a single jobs bill presented on the floor of the House. And you would think that that would be the highest priority. People heard about it just about a year ago at the on Election Day, and it was about jobs. And I think it's the focus. I went to the Occupy Albany event my second time on Saturday, and the crowd there was reinforcing the message. It's about empowering the middle class. It's about saving the middle class. It's about the struggle that people have in finding a job. It's the struggle in keeping a job. It's the struggle in making student loan payments. It's the struggle in being able to pay for your mortgage. So,
Representative,
you know, the struggle's real.
Yeah, and I was at my first one this weekend. I was at Occupy San Francisco, and you know, I was reading some of the signs. And I thought, you know, I know that people make a big deal out of, oh, this isn't really partisan on one side or the other. There were a lot of the things that you talk about on this show. I mean, they literally, as Barney Frank said, where were you in the midterms? I mean, obviously, he and other Democrats are the ones that have been fighting for financial reform. You're the one that's been, you know, talking a lot about economic disparity and fighting for jobs.
You know, and what's interesting, Stephanie, is like they get onto this agenda. The leadership here has gotten onto an agenda that really doesn't speak to American jobs. And they'll talk about everything but, you know, I think the fact that, you know, people are working, playing by the rules and losing their grasp of the American dream is what it's about. And what we have here is it ought to be a plan for job growth that will reduce the deficit. Unemployment is driving the deficit. And if we can get into a jobs package, make it in America, revitalize manufacturing, you know, just the latest studies show that we lost some 5 million manufacturing jobs. And the impact of that If we had not had that, they're suggesting every state capital would have not had a deficit situation if we had not lost those manufacturing jobs. And then they'll say, hey, you don't know how to do it right. It's about Obamacare. And it's not. Look at the nations. Look at Germany doing really well in the global economy, doing well with manufacturing. They have health care as a national policy. Mm-hmm. Their taxes are heavier than ours. And, you know, they're investing in manufacturing, and they're doing well. What is our problem here? You know, and again, 300 days plus have passed us by, and not a single jobs bill on the House floor.
Yep. And meanwhile, you know, people are reading stories like this. The big five oil companies on track to rake in more than $140 billion over this year as they benefit from billions of dollars of government subsidies. Mm-hmm. I mean, don't you think that's, you know, it's all part and parcel of the same thing in these Occupy movements, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I think they're connecting the dots for the American public. You know, you can't saturate the middle class with payments for programs or cut those programs that serve the middle class well. You know, we need to educate our workforce of the future. We need to train, retrain workers that are displaced. We need research dollars to grow the ideas economy, the innovation economy. We need to make certain there's a focus on health care plans so that we can cut the costs for businesses that are competing in a global market, because other nations, leading nations, have assisted their corporate sector by having a health care plan. So we need to go forward with those tools in the toolkit. And the focus is so demanded right now of what Congress should be doing,
right?
And we're falling short.
Well, exactly. There's a reason there's a 9% approval rating of Congress, and, you know, in my mind, it's because, you know, these Republicans have taken everybody down with them. They've blocked everything, and now everyone's just disgusted with the whole system. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it seems to me this Occupy movement and the fact that Bank of America just backed down shows that, you know, there can be political pressure brought to bear that gets results. Do you have any hope for any part of this, the jobs bill?
I think that, you know, I would have liked to have seen the entire jobs bill be approved by Congress. If we break it into separate parts, you know, it depends on what we do. But obviously, an infrastructure bank bill is essential. You know, I look at a district, the 21st Congressional District in New York that I represent, ravaged by the floodwaters of Hurricane Irene and Tropical Storm Lee. Ravaged by, you know, bridges wiped out, roads wiped out, commerce impacted. You need to ship your goods. And if you don't have that infrastructure, you're hurting. You look at high-speed rail investment that the president wants to make. This is about job creation. You think back of the WPA of decades ago. It built a nation. Today,
that's
there's
right.
infrastructure that is a legacy of a series of investments in America in a time when people believed in strengthening the economy by building the infrastructure, investing in the physical infrastructure and the human infrastructure. We're walking away from both. And how can you expect to remain competitive? You know, that investment saga that is so much a part. It's our history is replete with the investments in this country. And now the mantra is, you know, disinvest, defund, you know, take the progress of the 111th Congress and undo it.
That's right.
And I think the public is watching this, and I think it's why the Occupy movement is growing more and more. I went to the Albany Occupy movement. There were people in retirement years who are very traditional folks who were there saying it's about giving the middle class its turn. There were young college students who just graduated who can't afford to pay those student loans. They were there saying it's about creating jobs. It's about fairness.
Yep.
No strong middle class, no strong America.
That's right.
And if you don't enhance the purchasing power, it's over.
Yep.
The top of the pyramid needs to sell something to somebody.
That's right. Representative
Tonko, if the
middle
class is wiped out, it's over.
I am struck by the same thing every time I talk to you, and that is you are entirely too smart for Congress. You need to get a new... A new gig. You got to get out of this game. Thanks.
It's always a pleasure to join you.
Thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for the report, Carl.
All right. Representative Paul Tonko, State of New York. He has some fancy sort of engineering degree, and he's all kinds of
whatever.
16 kinds of smart. Okay.
And on the, by the way, on the Ustream, I have a lovely picture of him with a baby cow. And the baby cow is sucking on his fingers because it's nursing or whatever, and it's just it's like, and it's snowing. It's like a Rockwell painting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really.
He's nice. It's like that Chevy Chase movie when they try to make the town all Norman Rockwell like when he's trying to sell his house.
Right.
It's like that. It's magic.
Wait, Funny Farm?
Funny Farm?
You really?
No.
Wow.
I'll think of it. Someone knows what I mean. Okay.
Please don't tell me you went Funny Farm on, like, you brought up Chevy Chase's career.
There's a Chevy Chase film I haven't seen? That's amazing.
Wait a minute. Jim's got to go. Speaking of not so smart, hey, it's Rick Perry. I really am. I am the Rick Perry of Sexy Liberal. First, John Fugelsang comes out and he kills. Then Hal Sparks come out and he kills. And then I come out drunk and I think I killed, but not really, probably. But I think I did great.
I felt good, felt great. I think the message got across very well. It was a good speech.
Message is that me backstage? I did great, didn't I, Hal?
Sure, if the message was $2 Jaeger bomb.
Yeah.
What do you got?
If you were, this
is syrup. I thought it was bourbon.
If you were at Sigma Chi at 2 a.m.,
I'm sipping on the scissor.
I brought it. Woo!
I done brung it.
This was, I mean,
killed.
Now, I have outdone myself.
You're going to pay less taxes.
That was the funniest part to me because you could tell he just thought he was doing so great.
This is awesome.
Look at me go.
Brother, you are a warrior.
I thought he was going to do that. I am a golden god and like just dive
into the mosh pit. I can't put my hands out this long. My pants will fall down. I forgot how to zip them.
Good news is it does explain his tax plan. He obviously was drunk when he came up with his tax plan.
He put it on a postcard.
He has the 20% flat tax. Thing.
Oh, did you see the stamps from the Cayman Islands?
Did you see the prop humor when he pulled the postcard out of his?
If you find it.
It was his carrot top moment.
There it is.
I thought he was going to paper cut himself because he was so drunk. Slice
open the jugular by accident.
Anyway,
oopsie.
Somebody call me an ambulance.
You're an ambulance.
Anyway,
that's my favorite joke.
Anyway, he says it simplifies things when it actually makes it more confusing because you can either stick with the regular one or you can go to the flat thing with the postcard.
Not fixing the tax plan. He's just adding another one.
Yeah. According to a new analysis by the Tax Policy Center, his plan would blow a gigantic hole in the deficit while increasing taxes for those with the lowest end. Perry's plan would cost $570 billion in one single year. That's more than $500 billion in revenue.
You're welcome, America.
At the same time, compared to current policy, 40% of Americans would pay higher taxes under Perry's plan. Thank you, Governor Perry.
What's that?
Meanwhile, millionaires would receive an average tax cut under his plan of $500,000 a year.
Shh, don't tell anybody.
Yeah, shh, it's my little secret.
All right, I'll be back with more details over Perry's drunken tax plan. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back, more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this? What's going on?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
For the guys with no gaydar. 24 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Would you like some more Rick Perry fun facts? The tax plan? His tax plan.
I love it.
He did it when he was drunk. At least it's explainable. Now, the richest 0.1% of Americans would receive a tax cut of $1.5 million apiece. Meanwhile, a family making $10,000 to $20,000 a year would pay $250 more.
Suckers.
A family making $20,000 to $30,000 would pay nearly $500 a year more. The plan, almost shocking in the amount of money it would hand out via tax breaks to the rich, which would necessitate obliterating the social safety net, as we now know it, in order to balance the budget. Uh-huh. Nicely done.
Drunk person.
And you will, though, the rich will be, paying their fair share because a stamp from the Cayman Islands is actually more expensive.
More expensive by 9%
All right, we, as you know, have the largest percentage of people with entirely too much free time. Yesterday, Herman Cain mentioned his wife, Gloria. Which I think we should call Gloria to ask her what's up with his wife of 43 years, Gloria. Who he told the female employee that he came up to about here on him, where his wife does. All right, so Chris in Yankton was able to tell us yesterday that was number 9 on the Billboard chart, Hal.
In 1992. In 1999,
see? It was number 9. What are the chances? And Chris, for some reason, has an actual copy of the Billboard chart in 1982. And there it is, number nine, Gloria. Number one, because weren't you wondering what was number one in 1982? Up Where We Belong. Which I hope they play
karaoke favorite
right before the next Republican debate for Mitt Romney and Rick Perry to have their gay hate sex. Come on. And they just in slow motion they move toward each other.
Love 9%.
That's what tomorrow brings. In a world you have survived.
Wow.
I loves me some duets. I loves me some 70s duets.
What a way I feel.
Karaoke King has arrived.
This is okay with you people? What are you doing on the air?
I apologize. All right, Phil in Washington State, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I apologize to you. I had to listen to that on hold.
Hi, Bill.
Oh, no, that's okay. Right. That's okay. Two things. Mm-hmm. One, first, I'd just like you to know that I'm a lawyer and an economist.
Wow.
Oh, my goodness. Aren't you something?
Yeah, the two things I want to talk about relate to law and the economy. You were talking about the confidentiality agreement that these young women apparently signed, or these women
right.
apparently signed.
Yes.
And the fact that Kane is talking about them. Well, he probably can do that because they are probably the ones who are constrained from talking about the incident.
Man.
And my guess would be that there is no constraint on him.
Hmm.
And so he's talking about it with the assurance that they can't.
Well,
and
which is, that's why I think it's more BS, don't you? That he's like, oh, I don't know if I can do that. I have to consult with my lawyers. I'm sure he consulted with them before he even started talking about
complete
this, right?
BS.
He's probably got an earpiece in.
Complete, total, absolute BS.
Right.
He can do anything he wants to do, and he clearly doesn't want to talk about this because he knows he did what they're saying he did.
Right.
Now, that's number one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Oh,
okay,
no, please, after you.
This is
the Polite Chipmunk
Jeff.
Show. I love you, too.
After you. Okay. Oh, no, you first. Thank you.
Secondly, with regard to the economy, the problem is not that there are too few jobs, or even the jobs are going overseas. That's a problem, but it's not the problem. The problem is that we have too much wealth in the hands of too few people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All of the wealth that we produce, we, the American people, produce collectively in the various work activities that we engage in is being consumed privately. Private individuals are taking all of that surplus value, all of the value that workers create that they're not paid for, goes into the hands of private individuals.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Republicans' plan is complete nonsense. This idea of giving – the problem is too much wealth in the hands of too few people,
right.
And their prescription for getting out of the problem is to give more wealth to the people who have too much of it already.
Right. Very good. Smartest point in class. All right. Mm-hmm. 29 minutes after the hour. Back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller,
you pert little minxy sludge.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, type in the promo code Stephanie. Oh, gosh, this will come as a shock to you guys. Rick Perry is not that sharp when it comes to comedy and satire. This story. Did you see there's like satire websites, and he took a quote off it because he thought it was an actual quote about Occupy.
I love when the right wing runs with a viral video quote as if they really do want to build satellites that track heart manipulations to see if you're gay.
I have an automatic reply to my right wing brother's emails, just check Snopes. Okay?
Yeah, right. Please leave me alone.
Please, for God's sake.
So you've looked there, don't write me.
Don't, yes. Right.
But it was on the interwebs. It must be true.
It must be true.
Fake quotes from Occupy Toronto, I guess, and so a lot of conservative bloggers, of course, ran with it. Look at how stupid these Occupy people are. These are real quotes. Yeah, this is what his president Perry cited the quote he said it had been forwarded to him by his son, probably also a right wing douche.
Mm-hmm. Is he like anything like Romney's son, who's involved in that $8.9 billion Ponzi scheme.
Oh, that's another.
Actual
Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, an actual one. Not the Rick Perry, that's what Social Security is, but a real actual Ponzi scheme that his father's money was allegedly invested in and via his son.
Oh, dear.
But that's, you know.
Who let my son out?
I'm sure. Woof, woof. I'm sure Mormons are down with that kind of
I can just
behavior.
Stop at the top of the station wagon for 12 hours.
I'm sure he's a great example of Mormonism, and I'm sure they're very happy there.
Brian in Charlotte on Mitt Romney. Hello, Brian.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Catherine Cryer blew my mind. I usually tune in on Wednesdays to listen to how Sparks blow my mind, but Catherine Cryer is awesome. You need to book her more often.
I know.
Getting to Romney, did you notice that he surrounded himself with Solyndra lobbyists?
Yes.
Yeah, this is weird because we know that Herman Cain is being backed by the power of the Koch brothers, and Mitt Romney is being backed by the neocons and Karl Rove. So what do the Koch brothers do? They peddle in oil and fossil fuels. But then Romney now is surrounding himself with people who are in the renewable energy.
Well, because he's on both sides of that issue, like he is on most.
Obviously.
Yes.
But it just seems to me that this is a good old-fashioned money fight to me, because these neocons, they're only interested in getting money however they can.
Mm-hmm.
But these other...
I was going to say, he's about to give us a major speech to the Koch suckers.
Those guys are into Dominionism. They're into spreading their ideology by any means necessary.
Right.
So it's kind of weird. And when that Solyndra thing came out about those lobbyists, it just clicked them. I'm like, wow, they're actually going to war right now between each other.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, Friday night he's giving us Americans for Prosperity, defending the American Dream. Meaning events that are named with way too many names, summit in Washington, D.C. It's a tribute to Ronald Reagan, which is so unusual.
Well, there I go again.
I need everything I said to be put into a blender and turned into whatever kind of mash that you'd like. Now that I'm dead, you can just kind of take advantage of everything I did and erase the parts you don't like.
Just cut and paste.
All right.
Rick, I'm like color forms.
Rick Perry.
That's what I'm like. I'm like
Rick
right
Perry who tries to do that. Doesn't he do the Reagan thing, the head cock?
Everybody
and the
does. Everybody does now. Even Gore did it famously. That was Gore's attempt at, kind of.
I didn't intend to do the Ronald Reagan head dip, but it just sort of happened.
All right.
My brain's too heavy for my neck.
Washington corporate lobbyists are going to hate me as the President of the United States. I'm going to take a wrecking ball to that corporate tax code and, frankly, the personal tax code as well.
So corporate America is going to hate Rick Perry.
Oh, totally.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, back to Herman Cain. As I mentioned, the lawyer for one of the two women said that they've asked the former employer to waive the agreement so she could chat, like Herman Cain's chatting. The lawyer said in media interviews his client wants them to waive confidentiality so she can respond to Cain's claims that the complaint says are totally baseless and totally false. Bennett told the Associated Press he would have more to say when he meets with his client today. He said, I know her very well. I'm sure she would not make a false complaint. Meanwhile, Michelle Bachmann took a jab at Herman Cain. She said, this is the year we can't have any surprises with our candidate. Let's hope Marcus doesn't get caught in the Minneapolis bathroom.
That would be a surprise to no one but Michelle.
Yeah. I am not gay. I've never been gay. My wife is not gay.
And people who think I am ought to be disciplined.
I don't have any gay friends. I've never worn anything gay.
Herman Cade on the...
This was 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was falsely accused. And secondly, the word settlement suggested to me some sort of legal settlement. And as I recalled what happened 12 years ago, I recalled an agreement.
Oh.
I wasn't thinking legal settlement.
Of course,
the words have been flashbacked. And recall an agreement. I recalled, as our thoughts went through today, that there was an agreement with this lady who made these charges, and they were found to be false.
There was an agreement to the flashback.
I found it very
Can I hear that again?
What?
Did he just make a new word?
Entire thing very fast.
This was 12 years ago.
All right.
So it's done.
I was falsely accused. Mm-hmm. And secondly, the word settlement suggested to me some sort of legal settlement.
Yeah.
And as I recalled what happened 12 years ago, mm-hmm. I recalled an agreement. I wasn't thinking legal settlement.
Well, then. I did
and
this
And so
with my hand,
the
so
words have been flaspect.
Flaspect?
Oh, flyspect. I think is what he's saying.
Flyspect?
I still don't know what that means.
Flyspect? Picked apart? Picked apart?
Yes.
Kind of like that from Jackie Gleason in the second, or I think it was actually the first movie.
What a moon, Alice!
Yeah. It's not, that's
one of these days!
It's not like a Jerry Lewis nonsense word.
Flyspect.
Lighty.
Flagon.
You're flagging hiding,
like flagging hiding.
Stop with the hiding and the flagging.
I gotta hear that again. Okay. Kane's contradictory explanations, he also denies he's changed the story. He's contradicted his original contradictions.
And so the words have been flyspect.
I think that's what he's going with.
Flyspect.
That means picked apart to like. Like I said,
small.
Yeah, to the smallest point to where it's meaningless.
Like right. We just did to that soundbite.
To what the right. hell he was talking about? Yeah. Mm.
They've raised questions about his current ability to manage a crisis in the national spotlight. Do you think?
You think? Yeah.
Kane said he also believes race is involved, but we don't have any evidence to support it.
Sure.
Like most of what he says, he has no facts to back that up. He's just... thought I'd play the race card anyway.
They said that on CNN. We were just literally while we were sitting here. That was the whole conversation that was going on. Is race a factor in Kane's thing? Very possibly, but not from the liberal or progressive side of things. From within his own caucus.
That's what he said. He said, relative to the left, I believe race is a bigger driving factor. I don't think it's a driving factor on the right. Well, except someone on the right just took down the black guys.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, exactly. Oy vey.
Sorry.
Didn't he use this excuse before about one of his foreign policy gaffes? He said he attributed the lapses in memory to it being on TV too much.
Mm.
Yeah.
A president
too many...
is usually on TV.
Yeah. A lot.
I can't tell the difference between Uzbekistan and the Kazakhstan and Laurelstan and Hottistan.
Well,
he said after 12 hours over the day, many events, many interviews, I was able to gradually recall more and more of the details.
Yeah.
It all started coming back to me. I love this. I wasn't given the opportunity to think about it for a day before I was forced to start answering questions. Well, what do you think being president?
Oh, wow.
You know what? Let me, there's a missile headed toward us. You know what? Let me think on it.
Give me a day.
Let me sleep on it.
And,
All right. Herman Cain. Oh,
I absolutely believe that this is an intended smear campaign.
All right. And Mark Block, creepy smoky guy from the ad.
If we have to spend every hour, every day, responding to these ridiculous accusations, it will take us off our message.
That pronunciation of accusation is flaspect, isn't it?
Yes.
I find the entire circumstance very flaspect.
What?
Okay. And meanwhile, this is...
Hello, he coughed.
Yeah. This is surprising. Fox News and violating ethical standards? Has that ever happened before?
No.
They have ethical standards to violate?
Look, yeah.
What?
So, Greta Van Susteren...
That's the shocking story.
You remember was she always hyped Sarah Palin without disclosing that her husband advised Palin and started
she
all the Sarah
does.
PACs? Yeah.
She still hypes her.
Yeah. At no point during the interview with Kane did Van Susteren mention her husband has identified himself as a friend of Kane... And indicated if Palin dropped out, he would likely back Kane. Politico has also reported her husband, John Cole, appeared at a Kane event as a friend of the candidate.
Huh.
And there he goes. He pops up magically on his wife's show on Fox News.
Seems like a conflict of interest.
That's like Andrea Mitchell talking about...
the Fed.
The Fed. She's married to Alan Greenspan.
She's sleeping
and
with
no
the
one
bed.
Ever says that.
Yeah. Honey, what's going to happen to interest rates? Sploosh, sploosh. How long are you going to be in the bath? I need an answer.
Right, yeah. I need something to tell my employer so they don't get suspicious of the whiff.
That story is nothing compared to the Dick Morris story, however.
Oh, boy.
He was just on Hannity's show. He joined Hannity to discuss in Hannity's where Politico's attempt to smear the GOP's frontrunner. During the conversation, Morris said, unless there's more facts in this, we cannot derail one of the most creative, forward-thinking, effective campaigns that's been waged this year on the strength of this kind of flimsy stuff.
Wow, he got that whole sentence out in one breath? That's amazing.
Yeah.
We simply cannot... Let me start again. We simply cannot...
He's the only man we know that gets winded by a run-on sentence. His praise of Kane complicated by the fact he's apparently been profiting off of Kane's campaign, which was not disclosed during his appearance. Yeah, have you seen he does these things? He does these softball interviews. He just done them with Herman Kane and Michelle Bachmann. And at least 8 of the emails to Morris's mailing list promoting the Kane interviews have been paid for by the Kane campaign.
Huh. What do you know?
Yeah. Several of the videos end with Morris praising Kane's performance in the preceding interview with comments like, wow, what a lucid and articulate presentation of how to go about creating jobs. And wow, that was impressive. Man. Yesterday, hours before his appearance defending Kane on Fox, Morris sent out 2 emails to his list paid for by Kane's campaign. One was a direct fundraising appeal for Kane, which was introduced by Morris as a special message from our paid sponsor. And the second, the latest of round of the Kane Morris softball interviews. That is spectacularly unethical. Even for Dick Morris.
And it only cost me $999,000, which I had on me at the time.
It's 46 minutes after the hour. We're back.
You sound like a wacky racer.
Yeah.
More hump days with Hal Sparks next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I don't think Russell Brand minds it very much either.
51 minutes after the hour. I did that in San Francisco for the folks. The little San Francisco folks, a little something extra. A little hot girl on girl.
Yeah. 01 has been working on a version, I Kissed Your Girl, and I liked it.
Yikes.
I think it'll work.
All right. Oh, let's see. Tommy in Columbus has sent us a fly speck. Is a tiny dark speck made by the excrement of a fly.
Yes. That's what I was saying.
We think that's the word that Herman Cain said.
Fly speck. Yeah. Jackie Gleason in Smokey and the Bandit, his car is completely wrecked. And at one point, he asks his son for a handkerchief, and he does a little motion on the dashboard, and he goes, piece of fly.
Fly. Mm-hmm. Oh, fly. Okay,
yeah,
sorry.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It must be small. It's a little fly.
Yes. That's exactly it. Yeah. It's much ado about nothing is basically his point, mm-hmm. which is the exact opposite of what it is. Because not only, again, the sexual harassment part of it aside, as creepy and weird as that is, he's a bad lawyer, can't remember what his lawyer told him, doesn't think past 24 hours.
Yes.
Wants everything to be hyper simple, and when it isn't, he outsources it. It's the dumbest.
Oh,
I mean,
and Lee in Fort Lauderdale.
Really bushy is actually what it is.
Has a question regarding Kane's lack of knowledge of the settlement. If he was CEO of the association, he's probably the signatory on the settlement check.
Yeah.
And he still doesn't remember anything. Mary in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mary.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, somebody else beat me to the punch about fly spec.
Yep. Uh-huh. Thank you.
But in order to add to the list of Herman Cain's missteps, shall we say, now he's worried about China developing nuclear weapons.
No. Oh, dear.
They don't need them. They have
the financial weapons to destroy us.
Well, that's exactly it.
That ship has left the bomb.
Our real threats have nothing to do with modern technological warfare anymore. And any damage that can be done on that level is relatively minor and can be done with nothing. That's the whole point. 9/11 costs, I think, whatever, $400,000 to carry out. It's not about big state actors with big weapons anymore.
A lot of our weapon systems have microchips in them made in China.
Right.
What if they have, like, a kill switch embedded in there?
Yeah,
they could just
right.
knock our planes out of the sky.
If we were selling weapons to China, you think it would be? You think our CIA would go, we should probably put a kill switch in those things to hide that in there.
And did you see yesterday he called them so-called Palestinians?
Yeah.
Like they might be, sprites or fairies or leprechauns. He's not even sure if they exist.
Apples and oranges.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cheyenne in Long Beach, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cheyenne.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Let me start off by laughing first, because we in the black community on Black Talk Radio have been betting how long it was going to take the Republicans to throw their better black people under the bus, like they did Michael Steele, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, Armstrong Williams, all of them black conservatives, they eventually throw them under the bus.
Yep, They have updated back of the bus to under the bus for their current blacks.
That's right. why he's under the bus.
Thank you.
Yeah, so, thank you. Oh, is someone under you?
No. That's one of my passengers.
Oh!
He had taxi this morning.
Oh, you're driving a taxi and talking to me?
No. I'm dropping my kid off.
Oh, okay. All right, Cheyenne. Thanks for calling. Oh, that was disturbing on so many levels. Mary in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, good morning. I love you all.
I love you back.
You know, the first thought I have is the woman that Herman allegedly harassed, the reason she can't speak out is because then she would have to pay back the money, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But I'm sure there must be tabloids and or TV talk shows that would be more than willing to pay back whatever she would lose.
No.
Interesting.
Anyway.
Good point.
Look at you encouraging scampery in the media. Why? William in Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, William.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
The young lady from Albuquerque stole my point about Herman Cain and the Chinese developing a nuclear weapon, which he said on Judy Woodruff last night. But I think it's sort of it represents a series of missteps on his foreign policy knowledge. Not even missteps, just sort of stupidity.
Yeah, exactly.
I was watching Morning Joe this morning, and David Gregory said that sort of the price of admission to even run as president should be foreign policy knowledge, which he has no grasp of.
Yeah, but he has that clever comeback where I'm going to ask them, how does that create any jobs? See what he did there?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, when you're president, you need to know foreign policy and jobs.
Didn't Michelle Bachmann worry something about the Soviet Union recently?
Right.
Did she not get the memo?
Herman Cain it's 6 days before the start of World War II. The country is gearing up onto whether or not we should join in this fight. And they go, Mr. President, we needed to make a decision about whether we're going to send our forces to fight in, you know, to go to Normandy. And he's like, how would that create any jobs? Well, I guess all the dead fodder, we can replace their burger flipping jobs with more young people.
You're trying to smear me again. That's a gotcha question. speaking of China, House Parks, you speak Mandarin, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I believe that's what's on your answering machine, in fact,
it's
your cell
true.
Phone. I'm like, what? So, you know, the media gets a story, and they, you know, the thing about John Huntsman, I guess his one claim to fame is he's fluent in Mandarin.
Right.
Computer says no.
Perhaps not.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, they keep repeating it that he's fluent in Mandarin.
Maybe he knows one sentence, and he just keeps repeating.
Yes, the answer appears to be no. When asked on the Colbert Report to speak Chinese, he spoke one sentence and translated his words as, I just said, you ought to consider being my running mate for vice president. In reality, it would translate as, I really want you to do my vice America president. Strong evidence of Huntsman's limited Chinese ability might be in the fact that when he spoke Chinese to Chinese audiences as a Chinese ambassador, he spoke English. So perhaps that's overstated. Do you have any comment on that in Mandarin, House Parks?
Sure. 我追的就是 他会说中文，可是他的中文还不错，他需要练习。
He's so talented.
He probably said something really filthy.
Probably.
No, I didn't. All I said was, you know, I really feel like he probably speaks Mandarin, and it's probably not half bad. He just doesn't practice it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And so his pronunciation is off. And plus, when you direct translate Chinese, no matter what,
it's always going to come out.
It sounds rudimentary because that's the nature of the language.
Right.
Yeah, they don't have this grammar in the sense that
exactly.
We do.
They don't use is for feelings. They don't, you never say, I am sad. You'd say basically, I sad.
So maybe Herman Cain is right.
Sad.
One of them actually said, we would like to launch a nuke at you.
Yeah. It's a little difficult.
I sad.
Maybe John Huntsman told him that, just didn't mess with him. All right, 58 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. Oh, I spend my life passing love notes to Hal Sparks. Hal, it's for you. I have a little, it's a, somebody sent it from Sexy Liberal in San Francisco.
Oh.
It's a love letter for Hal.
Oh.
Let's see, who is this from? Oh, from Laura. Steph, can you pass this to Hal?
We're in class now.
Yes. Her daughter gave you the small cup, but forgot to put her name on it. She said, he said, you're my son's hero because a few years ago he said not to smoke, do drugs, or drink. Now that he's 21, it helps to have you as a role model to help him stick to his principles. Laura,
Don't smoke. What do you do?
Exactly, Hal.
Quite a
goody,
bit,
goody
actually.
Goody-two-shoes.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's never been the case. I never claim to be a goody-two-shoes. I just am completely responsible for what I do and can remember all of it.
Mm. Oh, another love letter from Ellie. Hi, Mama. Good time was had by all at the Sexy Liberal Show on Saturday in San Francisco. Here we are, thanks to some generous Sexy Liberal stranger with a big old camera. There's some new pics up, I believe, at Sexy Liberal Facebook.
Oh, you bet there.
And thanks, Ellie, for offering up the place there in Sausalito.
Oh, that's right. They offered to put Jim up if he would come up. And
well,
not gonna
my
happen.
Wife was looking at airplane tickets, and it was like $500 on short notice. And
you're like,
the
yikes.
Other opportunity was driving for 7 hours. So, I don't know. But,
well, look,
I thought this was a story about me at the original Sexy Liberal Show in Madison. Cougar spotted roaming central Wisconsin.
Yes.
Oh. When were you in Wisconsin?
Well,
back with you in April when we started this whole thing.
I think the cougar should be in Madison. She'd have a better shot at all those horny college boys.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. All right. Speaking of awesome, sexy, liberal things from Madison, Wisconsin, why, it's Matthew Rothschild from the Progressive Magazine.
What
Hi, Matthew.
Nice.
Hey, Stephanie. We love you here in Madison.
Well, thank you. I am Queen Segway, aren't I? See how I did that? Right from the cougar in Madison right to you. Now, we wanted to have you on this morning because this is an unbelievable story. So you got arrested for having a concealed camera?
Yeah, it was a very dangerous weapon. It was a cell phone. There were 18 people arrested last night in the state assembly of the state legislature here in Madison for having cameras or holding signs. All of those things are now illegal, but catch this, you can also legally carry a gun in the state assembly.
Welcome to Walkerstan. Welcome to Scott Walkerstan.
Wow.
Yeah, unbelievable, right? It would be in the Isn't It Ironic file if it wasn't so sad.
It's just crazy what's going on with these legislators, with Scott Walker and the Republican legislators here. They're the most anti-democratic group of people. You know, it's like having a bunch of Cheneys running around running the show in your state. And it's just, you know, they fear free speech in assembly more than they fear a bullet. That's
right.
The crazy thing.
Yeah, I mean, Matthew, obviously, as you know, we kicked off the Sexy Liberal Show in Madison and gave some of the proceeds to the recall campaigns. I'm hearing that there is real steam behind the Walker recall. What do you think?
I do think that Walker is going to face a recall election. I think we're going to get 540,000 people to sign petitions to force a recall. The real question is who's going to run against him now that Russ Feingold has said he's not going to do it. But
there is a
move afoot to try to convince Feingold to change his mind. But Walker is very unpopular with a huge segment of the state, but the state is kind of split right down the middle. Surprisingly, there's almost half the state that approves of what he's doing, and I just can't believe that.
Yeah, that really is unbelievable because, you know, when you look at polling, that doesn't seem to be the case. Now, Matthew, I know when we were there, we talked, about all the recalls. We got two, right? We got two Republicans recalled.
Right, and that was historic. I mean, it never happened before, but what people were aiming for was three to flip the state Senate into Democratic hands, and that hasn't happened yet. But the Republicans hold the state Senate by one, but they can't get through everything that they could get through before because there's one Republican state senator who doesn't always play ball.
Matthew, were you there? Was that an Occupy Madison thing you were at last night or not? Just a general...
No, this was something that was called Concealed Camera Day because concealed carry is now legal in the state assembly, even in the state assembly gallery, and cameras and signs aren't. So some people came up with the great idea, Concealed Camera Day. So we all went up there, and one after another, the state police and the Capitol Police, including a Department of Natural Resources warden, was the guy who hauled me out. I mean, so they had everybody up there.
Maybe Apple should make an iPhone that looks like a gun.
There you go. Funny. Problem solved.
Yeah. One woman had an old gun with the Constitution of the United States dangling from it, and I think she was carried out, too.
Well, you are a rabble-rouser and one of my personal favorites, the editor of the Progressive Magazine in Madison. Matt, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Stephanie.
All right. There he goes. It's Matthew Rothschild.
Maybe Walker should bring back the German-American Bund. That was big in Wisconsin back in the 40s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. By the way, here's some fun facts from an employment lawyer in North Carolina. Laura writes, Steph, I've handled sexual harassment cases before, and there are a few things to understand about the cases. Most companies won't settle above nuisance value unless their claims seem viable. Nuisance value here is about $1,000 to $5,000. A settlement on the high end of five figures tells me the company was seriously concerned that the woman or women were credible and the facts supported a finding of sexual harassment. Most women don't come forward about sexual harassment, particularly against the CEO. It takes a lot of courage and usually pretty egregious acts of sexual harassment for a female employee to bring a claim against senior management against a large, powerful corporation.
Interesting.
Josh and Madison on Herman Cain. Hello, Josh.
Well, hey there, Steph and Hal and Mooks.
Yes.
I wanted to say that if you're a Republican frontrunner and you can't stop saying stupid things and doing stupid things and harassing women, don't blame Mitt Romney. Don't blame the Democrats. Certainly don't blame the Republicans. Go home, take a shower, and blame yourself.
Right.
There you go.
Blame yourself.
Exactly. Kristen and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Concealed Carry Law. Hello, Kristen.
Hello, Steph. This is the official girl who had an orgasm, and I met you in Chicago.
Oh, that's yeah. You. What? Oh, right. You had an orgasm right before you called last time. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I guess.
Awesome.
I was at a Madison dog park recently, and there were some people talking about the conceal and carry law, and they were saying, well, you know, it might be useful because you never know what might happen, and like, what might happen? Like, oh, you know, a dog coming at you, like, and you would shoot the dog opposed to the person who they're attacked. Like, well, you never know, and dog might grab a baby, and then, you know, like, I wouldn't want you to shoot the baby. And they're like, well, you never know. I'm like, yeah, but we might get struck by lightning, and we're sitting under a tree. Because you never know what might happen, but
well, that's what the tinfoil hat. The guy.
This is some Meryl Streep dingo.
That's why the guy
baby.
Was wearing rubber boots Weird. And a tinfoil hat. Because you never know.
Sure. All right. Time for Right Wing World. Oh, Mike and Raleigh has sent us a song. Has
we'll send the right wing sound bites, the worst we can find.
Nice.
She'll have to sit and hear them all, and the Ustream chat is mine. Now keep in mind, Steph can't control where the stupid begins or ends.
Yep.
Because she used those special parts to make her Steph move friends. For Mystery Right Wing World 3000.
Wow, thank you, Mike. That's zippy. All right, Rush Limbaugh on the Herman Cain scandal. Rush Limbaugh yesterday.
You know what sexual harassment is? You know what it really is? It's a political tool. It is a political tool invented by the left.
Oh.
And for the express, just like political correctness is a political tool of the left to shut people down, sexual harassment is a political tool of the left to get rid of people or to score money gains, whatever is most desired.
My friends, wow, a tool of the left. Not so. It's nothing to do with piggy right wing men.
No, you know they used to used to say that sexual harassment is flirting from ugly people, and I think Rush just got took that to heart.
Yes,
you know, got
it
was like, hey, you mean me? and this is
I'm not allowed to flirt with chicks because I weigh 9,000 pounds.
It's just an innocent flirting where I put my hands on their breasts and they're a total stranger, and I say, give it up or you're out of here.
Hal
and
Sparks
by out of here,
been,
I mean off the side of the boat.
Hal Sparks has never been accused of sexual harassment. Why? Because everybody wants it.
Well, yeah.
Just saying. Who's going to turn that down?
Right.
Greg Gutfeld on the five.
I think that Cain made a mistake in the sense that we are beginning to understand the ubiquitousness of sexual harassment claims and how, because they're happening so often and they're everywhere, and many of them are inherently meaningless. They're done to safeguard, you know, future, you know, reputation damaging things, and you might not be guilty. He could have explained that while saying, yeah, this happened.
Boy, that was as clumsy a defense as, as Herman Cain's original defense.
Yeah. Essentially, he could have said, yeah, you know, yeah, we were worried about it hurting my reputation, so we paid it off rather than deal with it, because that's what a lot of people do. I have business to do. And arguably, a big portion of the populace would have gone, yeah, I can see that, and would have moved on. The problem is, He just, it's, you know, it's, Clarence Thomas. It's all these, you know, these kind of things where you're going back and forth and you're just being gross and you got called on it.
Yeah, exactly. David Frum on the Situation Room.
People get really excited about sexual harassment, take it very seriously, will be very angry at them. And then conservatives will say, wait a minute, what about Clinton? What about Edwards? Why is it always our guys who get hammered? You give your guys a pass. There'll be a racial angle because now we have, this is the second time it has happened to a prominent black conservative to have an accusation like this brought forward, and you smile.
Clarence Thomas.
And it will become the red hot issue. The conservatives who are uncomfortable with a Mitt Romney election campaign are going to be very comfortable with. Money will be raised. This is going to be explosive.
Okay, Bill Clinton and John Edwards consensual.
Right.
Clarence Thomas, Herman Cain not.
Yeah, exactly.
Consensual.
There's a big difference.
Yeah. Same match.
You know, somebody who wants to sleep with you and somebody who doesn't.
Nobody gave Edwards a pass.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything bad about Edwards.
How is that getting a pass?
Yeah.
Yeah, Bill Clinton.
Career destroyed. They tried to impeach
Bill Clinton. You call that a pass?
Mark Sanford kind of got a pass. He's on Fox News now. He just got hired by Fox News. And this guy, on Father's Day, was hiking the Appalachian Trail with his mistress on the government dime. This is a small government... The religious family conservative who now works for Fox News as an authority? On what?
A level of scumbaggery almost to the John Edwards level. All right, 17 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Right Wing World and Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. We continue Right Wing World. Monica Crowley on O'Reilly.
Herman Cain. This is a guy who's a simple, hardworking guy. This is why he's resonating with the American people.
It's a simple piece of man.
Really fed up with politicians of all stripes, both parties. They're done with them. This guy has come up through the ranks. He has spent his entire life in the private sector, as he told you. Huge success. He knows how to create jobs, which is the major issue going into this campaign. He's done it his whole life. And what I think the American people are craving is authenticity, genuineness.
There you go. That is your choice. Vote for Rick Perry. Get a job at Whataburger. Vote for Herman Cain. You can get a pizza delivery. Job.
Yeah. Who's authentic? And that's great. I don't read. That's authentic.
People are sick of both parties. He's an extra crispy bucket of Republicans. People are sick of both parties. That's why they're going to vote for Herman. What? He's like a really right-wing Republican. Okay.
Where's the non-party version? And where's this simple part of him other than... What? Because every question he's asked about anything of serious note, he's like, I don't. What? Who cares?
Gotcha question. Britt Hume on the Britt Perry's.
He's like me. I don't care either. Like,
Britt Hume.
He's going for the I don't care vote.
I don't care
enough to vote, so good luck.
Didn't I say, Chris? He's Honey Badger. Honey Badger don't care.
Honey Badger don't care.
Honey Badger don't give a Okay.
He's going for the Honey Badger vote.
Britt Hume on Rick Perry's spectacular comedic performance.
600,000 hits on YouTube for the 8-minute excerpts, from which you string them together can make it look pretty strange. Or at least a bit strange.
Make it look strange?
I was checked on YouTube to find how many people had watched the whole 25-minute speech. 289 as of late this afternoon. Nah. That may tell you something about this.
Yeah, that just proves.
Yeah.
Oh, please, we encourage you to watch the whole thing. It's even weirder. It's even stranger if you watch the whole thing. Oh, trust me.
I watched the whole thing.
Yeah,
so
it's even more awesome.
Oh, it is.
And drunken and rambling and just...
Because it seems like when you show the clips chopped up and together, you kind of go, okay, this is funny, but maybe this is a contextual thing. Maybe I'm overreacting and he's being silly or whatever. You watch the whole thing and you're like, this guy is schnockered.
You're like, maybe it's like the Dean scream. Maybe in the room it played and it's just going to look weird on tape and maybe,
No.
No, it was weird.
Well, for him, sorry.
It was 20
was
minutes of
editing
drunken weird. Right.
No, if he was in the movie Animal House, John Belushi would be going, dude, tone it down.
Yeah. Here it is again.
It is my privilege today to introduce to you Governor Rick Perry.
That dude's hammered.
I can't stand here in front of this crowd and not
just, you know, love on you a little bit.
You're acting like you're drunk.
You know, we're kind of into those slogans, man. It's like, live free or die, victory or death. Bring it. Bring it.
Are you playing the town drunk?
Get that.
Actually, I'm supposed to be the governor.
Governor Rick Perry.
Drunk ass mother.
Everybody's got one slogan, right?
Bring it.
Bring it. Thank you, Shano.
Oh, man.
All right. And
it's sad that, you know, this is why you need your own show, Steph, so you can show the clip of him hugging the maple syrup.
Yes.
Because that, even more so than all of his kind of, you know,
he was loving on it.
He was loving on it. And the way he threw his arms open, Marcus Bachman style, when he was going,
I love you, brother.
Come in, Mrs. Butterworth. You know you want it.
Okay, here's a guy named Peter Johnson. On Fox.
So is President Obama better at carrying out President Bush's foreign policy than President Bush was, or just bearing the fruits of President Bush's labor?
Massive deficit.
He said foreign policy, because as you know, Osama bin Laden, Gaddafi, really Bush's victory, really. When you look at it, really.
Well, that's why
I don't care where he is. I don't know, and I don't care.
That's why I disbanded the bin Laden unit.
Mm-hmm. That's what they say, is, you know, keep your enemies, friends of your enemies close. Can't get fooled again.
Kanye Rice just tried that argument that the Arab Spring, that Bush's.
Sure.
Yeah, had nothing to do with the fact that that Obama, first thing in office, said, we are not at war with the Islam, we are at war with the radical versions of them, and we support the Muslim. And then suddenly he's like, and it's, you know, parts of your government, parts of your, the religious, like, fanatics that are harming the world and harming you, and we are on your side. And suddenly the Jasmine Revolution starts up, whereas Bush is marginalizing a lot of these people the entire time.
She said it was Bush's freedom agenda, which promoted democracy.
That is the force.
The freedom, the fiery
of human
kind.
Freedom, freedom in all the world. Freedom, freedom's cause. Free dissent without freedom. Human liberty. Global.
In fact, Dick Cheney said the same thing recently. He said, I think what happened in Iraq, the fact that we brought democracy and freedom has had a ripple effect. So you see the illegal war where we went in with when there was no weapons of mass destruction. See, that's the whole domino thing there. Well,
if you don't buy that, I'll shoot you in the face.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a
Did you hear that botulism story?
Oh, I'm getting to it. Hang on.
Oh, my gosh.
I was going into my big tease. Just hang on.
Yeah.
Okay. This is the greatest, creepiest Dick Cheney story ever.
And that's hard to top.
Right?
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's basically the Emperor from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Join us. You know.
Creepiest Dick Vader. You got to get your coffee cup, Jim. The creepiest Dick Vader story ever. When we come back,
join us or you will die.
This is directly out of Dr. Strangelove or something, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. 29 minutes after the hour, right back with that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You're drunk. She's drunk. I'm drunk.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. Hump Days with Al Sparks. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You're right. It is hard to find the creepiest Dick Cheney story ever, but I think this would be
pretty
it.
Close.
Yeah, this is pretty close. Condoleezza Rice on the moment she thought President Bush could have been poisoned. It was a few weeks after September 11th, Condoleezza Rice accompanied the president on a trip to China, when suddenly Dick Cheney appeared on a secure video conference line and said, she said the vice president came on the screen and said that the White House detectors had detected botulism toxin and we were all, those of us who were exposed, were going to die.
We have detected botulism in the White House system. You're all going to die. Do not underestimate the power of the dark side.
Now, look what you've done, R2.
God, he is just a creepy drama queen, isn't he? Dear God.
And it was, I mean, how about that? You're all going to die. He essentially said that to them.
He just the creepy, just that creepy crooked mouth appears on the screen.
Die, your botulism. If you do not, I will shoot you in the face with my blaster.
We're all going to die.
love this
shoot
story.
Us in the face with
the reporter said he said that. Condi said, yes, he said that. I remember everybody sort of freezing, the president saying, what was that? What was that, Dick?
What was it?
What now?
Yeah.
You've been drinking again.
Do what?
Oh, wait,
do,
that's
wait.
Me.
What now? Do what? Do what?
Do what now?
I wonder if Butch had the same look on his face as in the classroom. I just, what? Yeah, just went another duty in his pants. What now, Dick? She said we were just a little unnerved. Do you think?
Yeah.
So they, I guess the former Health and Human Services Secretary Tommy Thompson had ordered a test done. Test at the Disease and Control Center for, they did it on laboratory mice.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said, wait a second, for 24 hours, we didn't know if the president had been poisoned. For 24 hours, we were in Shanghai. We didn't know the results of those tests around noon the next day. Hadley called Rice to give her the results. It was a false alarm. It was one of Dick Cheney's funniest pranks.
You've been punked.
Say hello to Ashton Kutcher. Ha, ha, ha.
We did lose a couple of Jawas, though.
God, that is really drama queenie, isn't it? When you don't know for sure. Mr. President, you're going to die.
You're going to die, then I will be president.
Yeah, wishful thinking.
You are part of a rebel alliance with traitor. Take him away.
I'm not alive with anybody.
In retrospect, maybe the president did poo his pants in the classroom on 9/11. Maybe Dick Cheney just put a whoopee cushion there.
Yeah, last month was the 10-year anniversary of what I like to call the day someone interrupted me while I was reading a book about a goat.
Yeah.
All right, here's...
That was just rude, interrupting me like that.
Mm. Oh, dear.
Oh,
Sean Hannity gave an interview to GQ magazine. Here's among some of his
Grease
thoughts.
Quarterly?
If he were president... he would like Rick Perry as the Secretary of Defense because he says he'd be pretty tough.
You're pretty drunk. Dang.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. He said George W. Bush is smarter than Obama.
Okay.
Why? Because he allowed Dick Cheney to run everything, and mm-hmm. that's Sean Hannity's idea of a good
mm-hmm.
thing?
Mm-hmm. Hannity contends Obama has done more to hurt the country than he has to help it. GQ said, he's ended the war in Iraq, killed bin Laden, removed Gaddafi from power. Do you think Barack Obama has done some major good in his presidency? Sean Hannity, I'm going to answer your question honestly. I think he's done great damage. Hannity also went on...
great damage to Osama bin Laden.
And Gaddafi. He went on to say he thinks Herman Cain a real contender and that Gingrich could also beat Obama.
Right, I could be one hand tied behind my back. Something will be able to fit behind my back. I can't step my arm all the way around.
Frankly, harassing somebody is when they're,
when they're defenseless.
Defenseless,
right.
Frankly. Okay. Hey, here's one of the reasons for Congress's 9% approval rating. Congress's net worth up by 25% since 2008. Isn't that what Occupy's about? It's just not just money and it's money in politics too. The minimum net worth of Congress has jumped 25% since 2008 to more than $2 billion. The median net worth of a member of Congress, just over $500,000. The median net worth of their constituents was about $120,000 in 2008 before everything went to... This is that Gawker actually did an analysis of it, but that's
And interestingly enough, I've been sort of on the fence about Bloomberg for a while because he seems to be since he's socially open and those kind of things. I've been kind of on a side, but the way he's been handling the Occupy movement and the way he's been sort of talking down about the entire thing and dismissing it and trying to make it look like lunatic fringe and act like he even said banks weren't the problem. That was people getting loans they couldn't afford and that kind of stuff. The derivatives, credit default swaps, which is actually what tanked the country, $35 trillion worth of potential debt leveraged on $11 trillion of total real estate. It's an impossible debt that couldn't be created. And no individual buyer on their home could ever create that amount of debt. It's an artificial, and it couldn't exist without unregulated banking.
It can't be said enough. They knew they were mixing bad mortgages in with good. So it's
If it was just bad mortgages, if it was just that everybody owed more on their mortgage than it was worth, the government could have literally righted it by just giving money to the actual people. But there was $35 trillion, which had to be shored up, or the banks would collapse and take everybody's money with them.
Yep. Tommy in Columbus writes, Steph, good thing that California has banned gay people from getting married so the blessed institution of marriage can be protected and kept pure. Oh, he did. It's the Kardashian marriage, shockingly.
Oh, yeah.
That's another Exhibit A for gay for marriage
totally.
Equality in California. And we give you Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
I love this piece online. There are several theories flying around this morning as to why Kim Kardashian announced her divorce yesterday. She's a whore. It's whore season. The whorometer read 100% whore and height.
50% chance of whoredom.
I'll tell you exactly why it is, because it got as much publicity and press of all sorts as a movie would. It was cheaper than an actual production of a film, and then once it was over, you need a sequel as quickly as possible. If they live happily ever after, nobody gives a crap. They get right to the divorce. People are buying straight into this. She's literally riding a second wave. She's getting a second bite at the same dumb apple.
And now, this headline, now there's vultures making money off the other vultures. Kim Kardashian's mom's book claims she could have saved Nicole Brown from OJ. So she's...
Oh, God. Oh man.
What the hell?
She says Nicole called her on June 12th and said, can you come over? I need to talk to you. She asked if they could put it off till tomorrow. And then the next morning, she woke up to the news that Nicole had been killed. She said, I instinctively knew in some way OJ had something to do with her death. Nicely done, Columbo. Nicely done. Because no one else had any suspicion.
Excuse me. There was one more question.
One more question. How is it that their blood drops on the left side of your body when...
Yeah, whatever. and, of course, Robert Kardashian was the one who got helped get O.J. off.
I know.
And that's probably what ultimately killed him.
Maybe the hunt she had came from evidence laying around the house.
Yeah, exactly.
All the depositions.
Conan O'Brien is marrying a gay couple on live TV in New York City. The wedding takes place in New York.
He's getting married to them?
No, he's marrying them.
Okay, well.
It's two gay guys on
his staff. That would be polygamy, and that would be...
That'd be wrong.
Wrong.
It would take place at the Beacon Theater. Hey, we got to do us a gay wedding, Hal. Don't we have a sexy liberal show?
I can actually wed people. I am...
And you could do it in Mandarin.
Yeah, exactly. I could do it in English, French, and Chinese.
Go to sexyliberal.com, by the way, and look at the upcoming dates. And if you want to get married.
Yeah, if you want to get married, we can do that.
We're throwing it out. We can do it.
Yeah, I'm nationwide. I'm able to do it nationwide.
I'm nationwide.
I mean, I only brought the hot girl on girl action last up. In fact, Laura writes, Steph, thank you for a fantastic night, Saturday night in San Francisco. My husband was the man on the aisle who didn't stand for your entrance. I got a standing ovation except for that guy.
Mm-hmm.
You gave him the full straddling motorboating he deserved. We all thought it was great, but my 21-year-old son was jealous and kept saying he wished it was him. He also thought Lisa was hot, and I think your girl-on-girl action made him more interested in three ways, not less. Please take it as a compliment. A 21-year-old finds you hot. Aw, thank you, 21-year-old. Yeah, bring it. Bring the gay weddings to the... Look, check out the calendar and see what's what.
You know, and by the way, in defense of three ways, they're not as much work as you might be led to believe.
No, less work,
and
really.
No. I mean, there's definitely effort involved. But after your third or fourth one, you get the hang of it. You know what I mean? There's
As I get older, it might become more appealing because it is, you know, it's less work.
Right. Well, somebody else is, operating the tire jack.
What? Okay.
Ratchet.
So that's what AAA
ratchet,
is for.
Down. Ratchet. Down. Ratchet.
Sir, Roger Moore says he can't understand fellow Bond actor Sir Sean Connery's accent.
But I can't understand why a poofed a Nancy boy like Roger Moore got the Bond franchise. You ruined the whole thing.
He said Sean's a good actor.
It was the 70s.
Sean's a good actor. It's a pity I can't understand what he's saying.
Who said that?
Bloody subtitles.
Roger Moore.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of spatting. He also was unimpressed with the last Bond film starring Daniel Craig. They're pretty bitchy, these Bonds, aren't they?
I've liked Daniel Craig. I wasn't sure I would because I really liked Pierce Brosnan.
Because
I was always a fan. I think he's a funny guy anyways, and he's a talented actor. So when they kind of they gave him the elbow, and it wasn't nice how they did it.
Yeah.
And I liked, and then I liked Daniel Craig. Although... He was in the first movie. He was very less Bond. He was more like Bourne Identity.
Sean Connery also not a fan. They're very. I'm just saying, very competitive. Craig. Very bitchy these Bonds.
But the
nice
the new
panty
ones,
she wore on the beach there.
They're all just mad because he's in mad shape.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially Roger.
Yeah.
Who, you know, oof.
Is he going to be a little bit of a tub of goo?
No, he always kind of was. Oh, you know okay. what I mean? That was, I mean, the funny thing about Sean Connery was he always had that 60s idea of, like when Tarzan back then, it's just you stuck your chest out. You didn't have to be in decent shape. You just had to be kind of relatively barrel-chested. If your chest is bigger than your belly, that's fit.
Although, yeah. Sean Connery was a competitive bodybuilder back in Scotland before he got into acting.
Well before. Yeah. To the point where by the second or third movie, they had him at a fitness gym in the first, like, month of it. Because they, you know, they literally, in the story, so that he would have to work out on camera so that he would be fit for the rest of the movie.
Speaking of old actors, Burt Reynolds will make a cameo appearance on Archer. Well, also sexy liberal Aisha Tyler is in Archer.
Nice.
He's going to do a voice. What's that?
It's the Burt Reynolds laugh. Right. Watch anything with him in it.
And finally, that's got to be good news for me. Queen Latifah is doing a new daytime syndicated TV talk show.
Uh-huh.
She had a talk show that lasted two seasons back in 1999-2001. See what happens, Chris? There's a statute of limitations. I went into the federal TV talk show host relocation program for a while, and
you
now
it'll
be a new idea. Stephanie Miller Late Night Show.
What
an idea.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
Yeah.
Danny Bonaducci on line four.
Yeah. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments of Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Said, come here, cutie. I flip her around and then I work that booty. I came here tonight to hear the crowd go. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room. Boom, shake, shake, shake the room.
Yeah.
I think Pat Boone covered this song.
Yeah. He did. It is a little bit of editing of the lyrics. It didn't actually make sense by the end.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, Hump Days with Hal Sparks. HalSparks.com for all things Hal Sparksian. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Roland, our tour director, that's a fabulous idea. We should do a gay wedding in Buffalo. Our last New York date was Syracuse. We gave money to marriage equality, and it worked. We're going to take credit for everything good that happens everywhere the Sexy Liberal Show goes. And then we give money to. So there you go. But that's, it's my hometown. It makes perfect sense. Hal Sparks is a minister.
Yep. I can, two times over nationwide. I can, and that's gay or straight, kids. I can perform your wedding. That's true. Mm. For a nominal fee.
You can do kids' birthday parties and make balloon animals.
Yeah, just a baby fund. That's all my wedding stuff just goes to the kid.
all right. My kids, my Max and Fred. My handsome
Don't
man.
Don't call
and
me
man.
Kids.
Ugly handsome man.
Max!
Fred? I was talking about my pet peeves, and I actually brought in a show and tell now that we're on Ustream on Monday. It's the person, I hate the person that leaves the dog's poop there, but I also hate the person that leaves the note there, the passive-aggressive note that says, because now there's two kinds of garbage, too.
Right. It's also very assumptive that it is the dog and not the owner.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. So
I throw out
the bag
the
of poop
a dog
and
has.
The passive-aggressive note, and I just used it as a story to talk about how much I hated both of those people.
Mm-hmm. So did you leave a second note for the note leaver?
No, it leaves more garbage, and the original person is not going to come back and read that note. So you've just left more garbage on it.
I crap on the note, and then I find a note on the...
Yeah.
Stop crapping on my note.
And stop noting on my crap.
This Mindy
Too
has
great
written...
taste, it tastes great.
Mindy has a more irritating story. Staff, I'm always a day behind since my almost perfect dogs, Nikki and Rocky. Nikki, Rocky! Listen to the previous day's Steph cast during our morning walks in Carlsbad. Yesterday you were talking about finding a note on red construction paper which was left on a bag of dog poo. It reminded me of signs that were left on dog poo in our neighborhood. Some pitiful person was making tiny signs, attaching them to toothpicks and sticking them in piles of dog poo on the trail. The sign said Obama's gift to America. It's more right-wing comedy than somebody with entirely too much free time. And it's also a great big dope. Okay. Wow.
Well, at least it's substantial and you could use it as fertilizer, unlike what the Republicans come up, which is basically what the Chinese call fang pi, which means butt air, and which smells substantial but isn't.
Yes. What are the chances I would have another story about poo, and yet I do. I have one more
Get
today.
Get your sticky hands off my fang pi.
Boy, you really know how to end a show.
From Gawker.
Oh, that's
I love
a surprise.
Gawker.
Yeah, I know you do.
I really did not think this is real. But this is real, right, Chris?
Yep, it is.
Gross-sounding poop transplant saves life of...
What?
...of Arizona man.
Why would you need...
In fecal transplant therapy, also known as fecal bacteriotherapy, doctors take the poop of one person and put it up the...
This has got to be a prank.
No!
Do they freeze it and use
it's
a ball-peen hammer?
It's not for everyone, but it seems to be life-saving for people who suffer from Clostridium difficile?
Difficile.
33-year-old Jerry Grant, an Arizona man, said, when you're bleeding rectally for weeks on end, you have no choice but to think you're dying. He recently shared with his local NBC affiliate the details of his personal poop switch saga.
Oh, wow.
His symptoms were, I don't want to know, but we'll just leave it there, were so severe, Grant says, he didn't have to get it. His lovely Mrs. Grant gave a stool sample so her husband didn't have to accept, poop from a stranger. Approximately 500,000 people are afflicted with this disease every year.
How many people?
500,000. Wow. So you could be next. I'm just saying.
Out of 7 billion or out of the in the United States?
And then, I think it's United States.
No way. There's no way.
Just saying.
There's no way 500,000 people are getting poop transplants in the United States every year, and we've just found out about it now. Because poop has been funny forever.
All right. I don't have the facts to back that up, but neither does Herman Cain. And it was funny. And it was on an NBC affiliate in Arizona.
Pretty simple.
So I'm,
Like some people just can't poop.
Wow.
So what we do is we transplant the poop from somebody else into them.
Mm. After that, you got
it on one piece of paper.
Here's another story.
Rick Perry has it on a card in his jacket. Ta-da! It's like that old joke about the guy. Rick Perry goes to a party and he throws up on himself because he's so drunk. And he goes, oh, crap, I puked on my shirt my wife gave me. She's going to be mad. And this guy goes, here, put $10 in your pocket and tell her that somebody else puked on you and he gave you the money to get dry clean. And he goes home and she goes, what happened to your shirt? And he goes, some guy puked on me, but he gave me $10 to have it cleaned. And she reaches in his pocket. She goes, there's $20 here. And he goes, oh, yeah, he also crapped in my pants.
He's going to steal that for his next routine.
Totally.
Here's a story about
how... I think Michelle Bachman's probably going to tell that in the next debate.
And blow it.
Yeah,
just
right.
Tell it wrong completely.
Yeah.
All right, here's a story about how bad things are out there. Women accused of decorating apartment with neighbor's stolen furniture. This is in Tennessee.
Close your windows. Yeah. Pull the drapes if you're going to do that. I'm just saying.
A woman who came home to find her apartment door kicked in. Her room had been cleaned out. The burglar victim went next door to ask if anyone'd seen anything and got the surprise of her life. Memphis police say she saw Crystal Jones and Angela Pittman sitting on her stolen plaid couch. The woman's glass and wrought iron dining room set, coffee table, and desk were also in her neighbor's apartment. The one resident said, we're in Memphis. That's all you can say. You got to get it how you get it.
Wow.
I'm just saying. Next door neighbor. Well, you guys see Mike? Wait a minute.
Yeah. Well.
Walking with my feet 10 feet off a bill. Someone stole my stuff.
Listen,
and sitting on it right in front
Hal
of me.
Hal does a routine about what they in Kentucky they're snorting bath salts.
Bath salts. Yeah.
There's some weird.
Yeah. No. And it's a big problem in Tennessee as well. All the red states. Curious that.
Oh,
I saw some in a store here the other day.
Yeah. Yep.
Uh-huh.
No surprise.
All right, and here's one last one. 87-year-old man busted with a ton of cocaine. Ton, not a scientific measure, according to Gawker, but it can be used to describe the 104 bricks of coke that an 87-year-old Indiana resident was busted with in Michigan. He claims he was forced at gunpoint to haul the stash across state lines. Nice try, Grandpa. His attorney said there's a very good reason why he had so much booger sugar in the back of his truck.
That's my favorite, by the way.
87-year-old men having to sell coke. That's how bad things are out there. Booger sugar.
Well, keep in mind, if he's 87 years old, he was in his 50s in the 70s.
Right.
He was still sort of... He was that guy with the big silver mustache, in the porn back then. He was probably involved in that.
A silver fox.
Yeah, he was silver fox back in the disco days.
SexyLiberal.com. Check it out for our upcoming dates. Thank you, Hal Sparks.
See you in Austin in a week and a half.
Yeah, baby. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.